Have your Bibles, you're turning to Matthew chapter 6 one more time, and get your finger, if you will, at Matthew chapter 18, if you will, please. I have been preaching in preparation. I think maybe some of you might have gotten it for the revival coming, getting ourselves ready to really be stirred in revival-type meeting. But I preached the other night, on Wednesday night, I choose Jesus Christ as Lord. You'll never have revival in your heart. You'll never be what you ought to be if you don't choose Jesus Christ as Lord. That was on Wednesday night. We had a powerful service, I thought, Wednesday night. Great crowd, good service, good altar response. This morning, I spoke to you about I choose God's forgiveness. In other words, you have got to say, I choose God's forgiveness. I want to be saved. I choose His forgiveness. I'm going to trust Him for salvation, and you do that. Tonight, I want to go a little step further, because we'll never have revival until you and I learn to choose to forgive. We have got now to choose to forgive. This is so important to me. I think it's very important for a church. A church cannot operate if we cannot forgive each other, if we cannot love each other. And I know in a congregation the size of what we have at Harvest Baptist Temple, there are folks who are holding grudges. No doubt in families. We have families that are holding animosity and grudges and sort of feelings one with the other. You can't do that and have revival. In church, maybe in the house of God, there's grudges going on. Or maybe in your interpersonal relationships with others, there's things going on. Tonight I'm speaking to everybody, not just one person or a group of folks, but everybody in this church. Because we all need help in this area. I want you to know that I think we all have a limited capacity to go forward in life without getting free from unforgiveness. Now let me say that one more time. I believe with all of my heart in me, and I know in you, we all have a limited capacity to go forward in life without getting free from unforgiveness. So tonight, I want you to be like me. I choose to forgive those who have hurt me. That's a big statement. I choose to forgive those who have hurt me. Now, I could ask everybody in this building, everybody in this room, I could ask, how many have been hurt? And I'm not going to ask you to, so don't raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you, how many have been hurt by somebody? And no doubt every hand that go up, somebody has hurt you in your life sometime or other, said something, they've been wrong, you were right, they hurt you. But again, I say to you, I choose to forgive those that have hurt me. You need to learn to choose to forgive those who have hurt you. God did not create you with the capacity to carry forward all the negatives from your past. You need to write that down someplace. God did not create you. He did not make you that you could carry all the negatives from your past all the way through your life, and you be a happy Christian the rest of your life with all this baggage behind that you keep carrying with you. It doesn't work that way. He didn't expect you to store it up or ignore it. Our past is more than emotional baggage. It's not just emotional baggage. It is toxic trash. A lot of stuff in our past is just simply trash, and we do not need to carry it any further. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're here tonight and you have some toxic trash that you've been carrying with you, well, I'll never forgive them. I don't care how much they beg me. I can't forget it. I won't forgive them. Listen, that's toxic trash. You need to get rid of that stuff. You'll never have revival in your soul. You'll never have a Spirit of God in your life carrying that stuff around. You just won't. Our past is more than emotional baggage. Now remember that. Forgiveness is what God gives us to free us and others from the weight of relationship fallouts. We all will have fallouts. That's common to life, but we have to operate with forgiveness. Forgiveness just disposes the sludge of hurts. Takes away that the hurts, the betrayal, the disappointments. If we want the kind of life that God promises us, and every one of us here tonight, we're here at church because we want the kind of life that God promises us. Now, if that's what we want, we must find a way to deal with the wounds that happen to us and the weights that life heaped up on us. God's answer to all of that stuff is forgiveness. Everybody help me by saying that wonderful word, forgiveness. Everybody, that wonderful word is
forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness. So we have to make the good choice to forgive today. You know, life is full of choices. Somebody needs to say amen right there. Life is full of choices. Every place you go, life is going to be full of choices. Every single day, you're going to have choices to make. Now, I said earlier, a week ago, on, Wednesday night, I choose to make Jesus Christ my Lord. I think everybody ought to do that. I'm going to choose to make Christ my Lord. Secondly, I choose God's forgiveness this morning. I preached about that. And thirdly, I am going to choose to forgive. Now, some of you are thinking about people right now, and no doubt you're saying, preacher, I'm hearing you, but there's no way I'm going to do what you're saying tonight. Now, stop right there and forgive yourself. And ask God to forgive you for talking like that, because you need to take care of this tonight.
Amen.
I'm serious. I choose, Roman numeral 1 in your notes, if you're going to take a note, I choose to forgive. Matthew chapter 6. Go back to Matthew chapter 6 very quickly and look at verse 9 through 15. I'm not going to take the time to read all of that, but you'll find out that Jesus was fielding a question from the disciples in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, teach us to pray. That's what they said. Now, Jesus' response was what we call, what? The Lord's Prayer. And Jesus said, pray like this. After this manner, therefore, verse 9, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, that's how he started out. Jesus didn't say this was a ritual now. He didn't say this is a repetitive prayer, but that it was a pattern that they could use and some important issues to keep in mind. A very vital phrase is found in verse number 12. Go down to verse number 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus went on to give further instruction on forgiveness because it was so very crucial. Verse 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, now follow the wording of God. Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I don't know about you, but that's serious business. Forgiveness. A person forgiven will be a forgiver. If we are not forgiving of others, our Father will not forgive us. Now, you better look at those verses 14 and 15. If you and I tonight will forgive others, God will forgive us. If we are not forgiving others, our Father will not forgive us. That's pretty important stuff. Forgiveness. That word is used 143 times in the New Testament. It's a legal term that means to release a person from an obligation. It's a financial context. It means canceling a debt. Jesus did not say you receive forgiveness by forgiving, but a person forgiven by God will become increasingly a forgiving type person. This is very important for us to understand. As you forgive others, God can free you up of the weight and captivity of unforgiveness. Forgiveness, ladies and gentlemen, is a decision. It's an act of your will. It's a choice. In my life, forgiveness is a choice that you make to release a person from the cage that we put them in when they hurt us. Now, you know, when people hurt us, what we do is we put them in a cage. But when we operate in forgiveness, we open the door to the cage and let them come out of their cage. We must operate in forgiveness. It's a choice. For unforgiveness is thinking you owe me. I'll make you pay. And we do it like this. I'll make you pay by hating you. I'll slander you. I'll recruit other people to my bitterness. I'll make you regret what you did. But forgiveness is thinking, you don't owe me a thing. That's forgiveness. I'm not looking for any payment. I'm not trying to get even. I'm not even trying to make an even score with you. I'm letting it go. You see, God did not make me able to carry all the load of unforgiveness. God never made you like that. You cannot carry this great big load of unforgiveness and be a happy, successful, prosperous Christian. You cannot do it. And there's Christian people all over who are just hateful with each other. They're bitter. Their churches will never grow because they literally can't stand each other. I had a pastor friend of mine tell me, the church that he was a part of, associated with, he said, "Preacher, that church will never do anything because those people don't even like each other. At the same church, they'll never do anything because they don't like each other. And they're always trying to combat each other." Ladies and gentlemen, you can't do that in your family. You can't do that in your interpersonal relationships. And you most certainly cannot do that in a local New Testament church. You have to have forgiveness. You've got to have it. It's a choice. God didn't make me to carry all that load. Unforgiveness is a cancer. It's a cancer of your soul. You carry it around with you as it eats away at you, and it eats away at you from the inside. Oh, I can't stand what they did to me when I was a kid. I can't stand the way that church treated me. I can't understand. And I'll never forgive them for it. And boy, you're going to get eaten up with cancer spiritually. Sometimes we cling to crazy reasons for not forgiving. Now, I don't have this on the screen, but Roman numeral 2 is simply this: crazy reasons why we don't forgive. There are some really crazy reasons why people don't forgive people. For example, the first one I have down is the hurt's too big. Preacher, you don't understand. I'm not talking about just a little dinky hurt. I'm talking about a big hurt. The hurt's just way too big. The bigger the hurt, the more you have to get rid of that hurt. The pain won't go away and it won't get any smaller if you hold on to it. What are you going to do with it? You got to forgive. Number two, and lots of people say this, and this is not so. Well, time will heal. How many times have you heard people say, "Well, time will heal"? Well, time heals nothing, folks. Can you hear me right tonight? Time heals nothing. Actually, if I'm waiting and wallowing in my hurt and your hurt, it won't heal. And then the time to forgive is now. If I'm wallowing around, it is still there. It will never go away, and time will never heal it. I've had people tell me 20 years later, "Oh, I forgot about, you know," they said 15 years ago, they forgot about it. Then 20 years, 5 years more, "I remember when." They never forgot it. Time didn't heal anything. They still remember. They still remember. Number three, I thought about this one. I'll forgive when she says she's sorry. I don't know why we use a woman, but I did. You could say, "Well, I'll forgive when he says he's sorry." Right? Either way, right? That's what we say. "I'll forgive when she says she's sorry." Or, "I'll forgive when he says he's sorry. And I'm not going to before then." Right? That's what we say. Your life is not long enough to wait that long. Because of selfishness, that person hurt you, and they may never ask you to forgive them. Don't wait for it. Your resentment does not hurt the other person. It hurts you. Bitterness functions like its own whip. Bitterness and hurts will come back like a whip and hurt you. Smack you in the face. Get rid of it. Get to an altar someplace. And get forgiveness taken care of. Number four, I can't forgive if I can't forget. That's what people say. I can't forgive if I can't forget. That's backwards. You will never forget until you forgive. You won't forget until you do forgive. That's what forgiveness is all about. Forgiveness means you let God heal it. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 51, Joseph said something like this: "God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father at my father's house." Do we have that on the screen? Can we get that? Maybe you could turn to that real quick. I think it's Genesis 41, 51. Let's see if we can find that. And Chris, if you can get that on the screen real quickly, I would really appreciate that. Don't know if I had that in my notes or not to do. But I can't forgive if I can't forget. Well, that's not so. In Genesis 41, 51, did you get that yet? Maybe I better find it. I'll read it myself. I want you to see it, though, on the screen. Genesis 41, 51. I believe that's the verse. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for the God said, that's it. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. All my trouble that I had at my father's house, all the toil, all the struggle. God made me forget it. Is it up there? Okay, yeah. He made me forget it. Made me forget all my toil. You see, God can do that. When you forgive, you can forget. It's very important that we understand. I thought about number five, and I hear this a lot. Well, preacher, if I forgive him, if I forgive them, they're only going to do it again. How many times have you heard that? Preacher, if I forgive them now, they're only going to do it again. They'll never learn. I'm going to teach them a lesson. They'll just do it to me again. Or they'll do it to somebody else again. You hear that a lot. Somebody's got to make him pay. Well, you know what the Bible says about that, don't you? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God does the justice. Justice is God's job. In fact, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6 and Romans chapter 12 verse 19 talk about that. You don't want to get between the hammer and the work when God keeps his promises. Jesus from the cross said what? Father, forgive them. Look at this verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. That's God's job, not your job. Let God do what he's supposed to do. And God will take care of it. You need to have confidence in the Word of God that God will take care of everything. He'll recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Let God do it. I'll forgive him, but he's only going to do it again. Let God take care of it. What did Jesus Christ say from the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In Acts chapter 7, verse 60, Stephen said, Lord, do not hold this against them. Do not hold this sin against them. Isn't that what he said? The man of God, choose to forgive. Every single one of us in this room will become better Christians if we drop the bitterness, drop the hatefulness, drop the vengeance, and just learn to be a forgiver. I am going to forgive. I am not going to hang on to this. I am not going to look for problems. I am not going to. Now, I'll tell you, everybody, from this end of the auditorium all the way across to this side over here, we have all been mistreated one time or another in our life. Somebody. Now, okay, let's just find out. How many have been mistreated by somebody in your life? Let me see your hand. Come on, everybody. Who is it? Everybody. That's everybody. We've all been mistreated. We could all go boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo all night long. Couldn't we? I don't know if I'm ever going to make it. I'll just blow my brains out. What good is that going to do? We need to operate in forgiveness. Asking God to forgive. Now, why should I choose? Why should I choose to forgive? Well, the short answer is because I'm forgiven. Now, why should I choose to forgive? The short answer to that is because I am forgiven. Write this down, Roman numeral 3. Why would I choose to forgive? Here's Roman numeral 3. Why would I choose to forgive? Nothing can happen in your life that forgiveness can't conquer. I believe forgiveness can conquer nearly everything in your life. There's nothing that you can't be free from in your past through forgiveness. Now I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Jesus had a parable in Matthew chapter 18, verse 23 through 35. Look at verse 23. Jesus told a parable about a king who was settling his accounts. I won't necessarily need to read it. You can read it while I'm talking just real quickly. Starting with verse 23, therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. So here we have a king who is taking account of, settling accounts of his servants. The man owed him 10,000 talents. Now, one talent was 20 years of wages, let's say. And if his salary was $50,000 a year, the man would have owed $10 billion. Woo! Say, man, preacher, how can anybody pay that back? Well, the whole idea of the story is he can't pay it back. That's the whole idea. There is no possibility that he could pay it back. But you do the math, it's like $10 billion. Now, that was unpayable. He couldn't pay that debt. The servant fell on his knees, did he not? And what did the guy do? He begged the king, help me out. Don't make me pay this. That debtor, by the way, is you. You have nothing with which to commend yourself to God. That debtor there, that's pictured in Matthew 18, that had $10 billion debt, that debtor is you. There is no way, ladies and gentlemen, you can pay your debt of sin. There is no way. Any of us, we don't have the ability to do any of this. The king is God. By the way, we don't deserve his grace. We don't deserve his forgiveness. And by the way, I cannot earn his favor. Come on, amen. God will not clear the guilty. If you go with me to the book of Numbers real quickly, now keeping your finger there, but go back to Numbers chapter 14. I want you to see a verse of scripture that I picked up today. 14, verse number 8. I'm sorry, verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. God will not clear the guilty, folks. Listen, you have a debt. We're as guilty can be. I told you this morning, we're born in sin. We're created. We're made in sin. We're sinners from the womb. We're sinners. There's nothing good in us at all. For we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not one righteous. No, not one. We're in a terrible lot. We cannot pay the debt we owe. There's no way. We're like the fellow who owed $10 billion. Go to the book of Nahum. Let me show you one more verse. It's Micah, Nahum in your Bible. Mine's on page 768. Book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse number 3. The Lord is slow to anger, great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Both of these verses say that God will not take lightly and dismiss our sin. He's going to hold us accountable. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came into the world to pay a debt. He paid a debt he did not owe. Because I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. But now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt. Do you understand the truth of Scriptures? I had this debt. Listen, some of us think we're so good we don't have any debt. Ladies and gentlemen, there is not one of us. Even our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. None of us are any good. We're all headed for the devil's hell. He paid that debt. You ought to be thankful to Him the rest of your life. Come to Him, kneel to Him, say, God, help me to be the kind of person I ought to be. And Lord, help me to forgive others. Because You've been so good to forgive me. By the way, you needed to be forgiven, didn't you?
Amen.
Yes, you did. You had a debt you could not pay. Honestly, it is mind-boggling to think that God, the great God of the universe, would love us enough to provide for the forgiveness of our sin through the punishment of His own Son. It's really mind-boggling that He would do that. Now, what we deserve? What is it we deserve? We deserve hell. We deserve judgment. What did we get? Mercy and forgiveness. We deserved judgment. We deserved hell. But the day we came and said, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. I do now accept You as my personal Savior. No longer do you have any condemnation. The Bible says, therefore now you are passed from condemnation. Now you have a new life in Christ. I have been forgiven. Say that word. I have been
forgiven.
I have been forgiven. Wow, what a thought. I owed a debt, couldn't pay it. Deserved judgment, didn't get that, got forgiveness. I deserved death, didn't get that, what'd I get? Life. Wow. Deserved hell, what'd I get? Heaven. Ooh, everybody ought to be shouting right now. Somebody go on, ooh. Hey, I said, listen, we should have had hell, but we get heaven. Should have had death, but we get life. Man, I don't care if it's a Baptist church or whatever. Everybody ought to be shouting.
Amen.
Why? Because, man, you got something you never did deserve. I don't deserve this goodness that God's done for me. I don't deserve all the stuff that God has given me. I don't deserve it at all. But what a God. That's when these folks were singing a while ago, I just wanted to shout a little bit. That's a good song. And we've been forgiven. What a God. Think about this. We get all that because we are loved by God and can be forgiven by God. Now you've got to let the love of God change you, folks. So often I wonder, we talk about the great love of God, and people act like the world, talk like the world, live like the world, dress like the world. Listen, let this great love of God that we keep talking about really change you, make you something you've never been. That's what God wants to do. If God loves and forgives us, if God's love and forgiveness is really there, your identity will be impacted, I believe, in countless ways. If God's love and His forgiveness has really impacted your life, you are not the same. It will impact your life. We're not talking about just a little something going on. We're talking about the great God of the universe forgiving you of your sin. And once that happens, it will impact your life. It will literally change your life. Now, if it doesn't, there's something awry. And it's not God who's wrong. It's not God who's awry. He's all powerful. There's something with our experience. We got to get it with God. Understand forgiveness. Now, let me go a little further. Forgiving people. People who have experienced God's forgiveness, I believe, are forgiving people. One of the reasons why I can forgive so easily is because God has really forgiven me. And I realize it. And it's so easy for me if somebody does something. Oh, well. I'm not going to keep a chart. I'm not going to keep an account. Oh, that's the fourth time Moss done that to me. Yeah, yeah. I might as well write it down tonight then. I'm keeping records, you know. That's not how forgiveness works. That's not how it works at all. forgiving people are people who have really, I think, been forgiven. Now, we don't do that perfectly, by the way. But we are growing in our willingness and ability to forgive. Now, go with me to a verse of Scripture found in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I brought this from Ephesians this morning as well, but look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Now, I want us to get ready for revival. We got four or five young men coming that's going to come and preach, and got some singers that's going to come and sing, and a fellow's going to come play the piano. We ought to get this place ready for revival, and we ought to get this place ready for Easter services, where we could jam-pack this place up and have chairs up and down the walls and in the aisles and just pack people everywhere. Wouldn't that be fun? Now, you'll never have that. You'll never have that if there's bitterness and anger. Well, preacher, I tell you what, people mistreated me when I was a kid. I was a Christian person. I'd never forgive them. I'm going to go to church. I mean, how many people do you meet every week that just mad in a wet hen at churches? Just mad at everybody. Mad at preachers. Mad at Christians. Mad at bus workers. Mad at choir directors. Just mad at everybody. And they sit around, big old beer bellies, drinking their beer and cussing and swearing. Can't play ball, can't do anything, sit around and smoke and chew, and I'm just mad at the world. Where's that getting you, mister? You know, they're getting it to an early grave. And then, eventually to hell. What a sad indictment. Doesn't have to be that. Life doesn't have to be lived like that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32 says this, let all bitterness, I love these verses, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. You know, somehow, I don't know, fundamental Baptists really missed it. I'm sorry if you fundamental Baptist pastors are looking at me now and listen to me a little later, but we miss it. We think we have to be mean and ugly in order to be a good fundamental Baptist. You have to rip somebody's head off to be good. Well, that's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture actually teaches us to do this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be a kind. You see it? One to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You don't have to be a big old brute. You can just love people. Love the things of God. Want to see people grow. And be a kind man. If you understand that God has forgiven you, you will forgive others. If you are not forgiving, now stop and think. Now, if that principle is true, now listen to my analogy. If I'm not forgiving, then I don't have God's forgiveness, no matter what I say. If I'm not forgiving, I do not have God's forgiveness, no matter what I say. That's the Scripture. Now, think about this. You have been provided for throughout all eternity. 10,000, now if you're saved, born again, 10,000 years from today, you will still be singing the praises of God who loved you enough to forgive you of all of your sin. I mean, 10,000 years from today, if you're saved, you'll still be singing His praises. Think about that. Now, this is a life-altering choice, then. It's not some band-aid you put on and I feel guilty sore. No, sir. This is a life-changing thing I'm asking you to do tonight. Operate in forgiveness. I don't care if it's the meanest sinner in the world. You must forgive them. I'm talking about if it's a sinner. You know, sometimes Christians think they can be ugly at sinners because they're just sinners. You have to be forgiving to sinners, too. And by the way, you have to be forgiving to each other, too. Amen. And husbands, you have to be forgiving to your wife. And wife, you have to be forgiving to your husband. And kids, you have to be forgiving to mom and dad. And mom and dad, you have to be forgiving to your children. Isn't forgiveness wonderful? It is. Unforgiveness destroys people. If you will go back to Matthew chapter 18... Let me finish the teaching here in verse number 28. Unforgiveness destroys people. Now, follow me in verse number 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Now, this was around 100 days' wages in comparison with what we just talked about. The other fellow was $10 billion. So at $50,000 in a year's wages, he owed about $20,000, let's say. So this man grabs his debtor by the throat. He's choking him. What's he demanding? Payment! You need to pay me! Grabbing him by the throat, he's choking him. Demands payment. The man should have been so thankful for the great debt that he had been forgiven, $10 billion, that the $20,000 shouldn't have made a big deal. Come on, amen? Just think about what the unforgiveness cost in the story of Jesus here. First of all, unforgiveness always causes, write this one down, shattered relationships. Unforgiveness always causes shattered relationships. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think much was going on with relationship ethics and good stuff when you guys got a hand around a guy's throat and said, pay me what you owe me! I think the relationship between those two guys fell apart. I don't think they probably had a picnic on Friday. Hey, let's come to my house for a little picnic afterwards, okay? I doubt that that happened. You know, he had his hand around his throat, he's choking to death. And every time we have unforgiveness, what happens is, I'm not going to talk to them. I mean, there are people in the church, you said about other people in the church, preacher, I exist with them, but don't put me in any committees with them. I can't stand them. We're talking about fellow Christians. You kidding me? Certainly don't put me on the same golf team when Mott does that golf outing thing. I don't want to golf with them guys. The guy's an idiot. Easy. You see, unforgiveness causes shattered relationships. Number two, it causes shattered reputations. When he would not listen to the plea of his debtor, he had him cast into prison. Remember? His fellow co-workers were incensed that he put him in prison. And they were incensed because he had an unforgiving attitude. So they went back and told the king. Remember, they went back and told the king what he had done, what had happened. And the forgiven servant, who had been forgiven of $10 billion, lost credibility and integrity with his fellow servants. When he came before the king, he actually was humiliated. Look at verse 32 and 33. Because honestly, the king said, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Huh. Shattered reputation. Number three. Unforgiveness always causes shattered results. The king changed his mind and reinstated the debt. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that he was due unto him. You see, he had forgiven him of the $10 billion, and now he said, because of what you've done, now I'm erasing what I did for you. Now you're going to prison. And you're going to the tormentors, not just prison, but to the tormentors, and you're going to stay there till you pay me. Now hold on, let me ask you a question. How long is he going to have to stay there to pay $10 billion? Well, he's not going to ever get out. And by the way, he's sent to the tormentors. It's worse than just going to prison. I mean, the man's really in trouble now because he did not forgive. Shattered reputations, shattered results. The king mirrored the attitude of the servant who wouldn't forgive. I'm telling you, folks, unforgiveness eventually and gradually leaves us with little but a thirst for vengeance. And that's all you're going to end up with. Now, let's talk one more thing about forgiveness in your health. I found an article from 2004. In 2004, researchers used an MRI scan and found that unforgiveness was destructive to a person's health. Now, this is a medical field. Find out that unforgiveness is dangerous to your health. Another study said that hormonal patterns mimic those of a person under stress. If we can't find forgiveness, it's actually like we're living with a dose of stress. Another study found that unforgiveness correlates with the development of psychiatric disorders. Wellness issues expert Carol Buckley Frazier says that there have been about 60 conclusive studies that show a clear connection between the health of the body and the effects of unforgiveness. In one study, vengeful thoughts for as little as 16 seconds, now listen, led to an increase in blood pressure, heart rate, muscle tension, and a decrease in what's called T-cell counts. T-cells are disease fighters in the body. However, on the positive side, the same report said, when we forgive, cortisol, or stress hormones, decreases. And our ability to love and feel love improve, as well as our mental and emotional health. So as we operate in forgiveness, not only do we become better physically, we become better emotionally, we can feel to love better, we can have a better mental capacity, and even our emotionals are improved. Our immune system improves, as well as our cardiovascular system, the report said. Well, you know, if our cardiovascular system improves, and our immune system improves, forgiveness can actually make you healthier, happier, and maybe even a little thinner. Amen. It's a good diet plan to go on, just to be a forgiver. Amen. God's Word says a lot about forgiveness, doesn't it? How about you tonight? I believe with all my heart, some of us in this room need to choose to forgive somebody that we've been holding issues with. You know who you are, and God knew you were going to be here, and God knew the message that was going to be preached. And I love my church, I love all of you folks that are here, but God didn't have me do this for nothing. There's something going on, and God's people need to get to God tonight. Now, you don't have to confess anything to anybody, but you need to get to an altar someplace. Say, God, would you please help me, because I am really holding some bitterness, some grudges, some discontent. No wonder God says to forgive. We do not, ladies and gentlemen, have the capacity to carry unforgiveness with us. It'll eat you up. We could not do what God has called us to do without forgiveness. I could not pastor this church without the spirit of forgiveness. There's no way. The burdens sometimes are just way too heavy. And I thought about this. What if I didn't forgive people in my past? What if, and I can't think of a single person tonight, I'll be honest, I can't think of a single person that I'm holding a grudge against or bitterness at. I can't think of a single person. And I examined myself all day today. Excuse me, this afternoon when I was preparing for this message. But I just asked myself today, what if I didn't forgive people in my past? Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I have a very loving wife. Rebecca's a very good woman for me to have married. What a sweetheart I have. And I'll be honest with you, I have a wonderful marriage. I honestly enjoy my married life. It is such a wonderful experience for me and my wife. I love it. I have some tremendous, exceptional kids. Ken and Lynette are just exceptional kids. Talked with Ken yesterday, and he's just enjoying so much being with the fellows in the military as chaplain. And Lynette, of course, she's here working with us all the time. And I have some exceptional kids. But what garbage would be traced over my home if I hadn't made the choice to forgive. I know a lot of preachers whose lives are miserable because they had a grudge against the deacon or somebody at the church. And they've been so mad at him so long, and their families are wrecked. I just wonder what garbage would be over my home if I hadn't made a choice to forgive. I'll tell you what, I love my wife too much. I love my two kids too much to let unforgiveness spoil what we have together. And I wish every family could say, you know, preacher, God's blessed my family too. And I don't want anything to spoil my family. And I don't want any kind of unforgiveness to ruin what we've got going. I'm telling you, folks, unforgiveness will just destroy you. Tonight, God's talking to some folks in this building. And I want you to come. You need to take care of that tonight. Unforgiveness will destroy you. I choose to forgive. In the very front of my message, I made this statement. I have a limited capacity to go forward in life without getting free from unforgiveness. So I choose to forgive. Who do you choose to forgive? Those who hurt me. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.